I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would. Ask for God's blessing upon His Word this evening. Lord, we just thank You for Your Spirit moving in our lives. We thank You that You've given us a Word that's filled with rich truths, principles and guidelines by which we can live, by which we can know the pathway to eternal life, the pathway to really knowing You and falling deeply in love with You. Lord, I pray that this people would be attentive to Your Word this evening, that they would be responsive to it, that they would be responsive to Your love and to the wooing of Your Spirit. Anoint this Word. Anoint every mind to hear it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message tonight is, And Thou Shalt Live. And Thou Shalt Live. The text is Luke 10, verses 25 to 28. Jesus has called us to life, and we all want it. All we want life. This life is shown to be in God through Christ. But how are we to really possess it? What must we do to obtain it? I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to hear God's Word carefully. And we need to follow it very carefully. We need to ask God for revelation, for understanding, so we can know how to implement His Word. So, and thou shalt live. Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? So Jesus answered him with a question. The man asked a question. Jesus answered with another. And he, the lawyer, answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, Jesus, said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now in verse 27 here, the word love is agape. It's not actually agape, it's agapao, the verb form. But it means a total self-sacrificial love. And that's how we are to love God. That's what God is calling us to. To love God totally, completely, self-sacrificially. And as we look at this word, agapao, also with its noun, agape, these words present the very basis and the very foundation of the entire gospel message. It's love. That's the whole basis. That's the whole foundation. It's not legalism. It's not fanaticism. It's not self-effort. It's not independence. It's love. It's the whole message. It's the call of God. We are to love God. This command is found throughout the Word of God, to really love God, to love Him, to really love Him, to love God, not to show Him all these so-called impressive works of the flesh, these forms of godliness, but to love God, to really love God. That's the call. That's the call of God. Not to hold up your ministry and say, well, see, here, Lord, see, I'm being faithful. That doesn't mean a thing to Him. That really doesn't mean a thing to Him. Well, I witnessed to these people. Really doesn't mean a thing. It's, do you really love Him? Do you really love Him? It's the whole call of God. And He tells us to what degree or to what measure we are to love Him. With all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. This shows full intensity, full dedication. That's how we're to love God. It shows our emotions, our affections, and our desires all set upon Him. Everything we have is to be set upon Jesus Christ. Man is to pour himself out in love. He's to pour himself out in total surrender to God, leaving nothing. Nothing in reserve. Nothing is to be held back. The total person is to be given over in love. Everything that you are is to be given over to God in total love, total commitment. It's a complete giving. Complete giving. All of our faculties must be occupied with loving God. All of our faculties occupied with loving God. This emphasizes the whole, complete, total duty of man. This is the total duty of man. Man must use all these to their full to love God. God's wholehearted love must not be answered in a half-hearted manner. He's given total love to us. He's used, as it were, all His faculties to pour love out on us, and He wants us to respond in like manner, not to respond in a less manner. God is not satisfied with merely a part. Not even the smallest corner is to be closed against God. Nothing's to be held in reservation. Now we can give some examples of this full intensity and this total devotion and this wholeheartedness. One that we can see is Moses. As he stood with the rod held over the Red Sea, you know that he did that with all his heart. You know he did that with all his strength. He didn't stand there and hold it up for a moment and hope, put it at his side and wave it around. Well, now what? The Egyptian army was coming. Either that sea opened up or they were dead. As the world would say, their goose was cooked. They needed some deliverance. God demanded Moses' full attention. And Moses had no trouble in giving it. No trouble whatsoever. He gave it totally. When J.L. had an uninvited visitor, a man named Sisera, and he was an enemy of Yahweh, and she was on Yahweh's side, this man fell asleep in her tent. She took a tent peg, put it right at his temple, and rammed it through. Took a hammer and rammed it through his skull. Killed him. Represents the church defeating Satan. She did what was absolutely correct. Now, do you think she needed to use all her concentration? Do you think she needed to use all her heart? What if he didn't die after she swung the hammer? This is now a furious man against a weak lady. She put all of her intensity, all of her energy. Besides that, she trusted God with all of her heart. God had her full devotion. She did not, well, let's see, I think I'll put it in his hand. I think that'll do it. Maybe his knee, that'll. See, Lord, where should I put this? It's real sloppy, made all sorts of noise, tripped over him. Wanted to get the tent peg, knocked over a bowl and knocked over a table and all of the rest. No, she used all of her attention. She made sure that this man did not wake up. But to like, she's got the tent peg right at his head, about to go, and he wakes up. What then? She's got to make sure he doesn't wake up. She's not going to do anything to disturb him. She gave fully of her heart. She put her mind totally at the task at hand. Totally nothing in reserve. Not one ounce of reservation. It was not done haphazardly. What about Samson as he stood between the two pillars? He'd already gone through scorn, ridicule. Look at what he'd gone through because of Delilah. But now his hair was growing back. And he was repenting of his sin. And he was saying, "Oh Lord, let me be used to bring revenge. Let me be used to bring proper judgment." And as he stood between those pillars, it says in Judges chapter 16 that he began to push with all of his might. He put everything in it. He trusted God totally. He was not there with his mind wandering. He was not there daydreaming. He wasn't worrying about what was for dinner. He wasn't worrying about the cares of life. He had one purpose. He had one object. And he gave everything. He gave his life. He gave his life. He gave everything. Total dedication. What about David against Goliath? Just went out there swinging the sling, whistling, humming. Da, 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 da. Oh, well, I wonder what I'm doing out here. Mind wandering. He was dedicated. What if those five stones plinked off that man's armor? Plink, 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 plink. That's four. Plink. Now what? He's dead. He's dead. He saw it was life or death. God wants us to see that it's life or death. Full intensity. Total devotion. What about Elijah against the 450 prophets of Baal? What's it like? One against 450. What happens if Yahweh doesn't come through? Lazy prayer? Boy, I had a hard time praying up there. Just couldn't keep his mind on it. Just had too many other things that he was worried about. Flat tire in his chariot. A few other things. He's getting a little hungry. Food meant nothing. Time meant nothing. Nothing was important except that he hear from heaven. It's all that mattered. That's all that counted. What about as Christ prayed in the garden? Boy, he had such a hard time. He kept falling asleep. Say, Lord, oh, let this cup... Lord, heal my foot. No, that's not what I'm supposed to be praying. He had no trouble praying. Prayed all the more earnestly. Mind set, heart set. He knew where he was and what he was doing and how he had to approach it. He put everything into it. What about some examples from daily life? What about when you land an airplane? Close your eyes. Look, Ma, no hands. Is that how you do it? No, you don't write home and tell Mom about that. You're in the mortuary. You put some intensity into it, right? You've got to concentrate. What about you're an explosive expert? And here's a time bomb they found in a locker at the airport. You come swaggering in. Where's that locker? Bring that bomb over here. Oh, you do? No. Oh, it is concentration. I don't care if a fly lands right on the nose. I don't care if there's an itch on your ankle. I don't care, and neither would he. It is total devotion. Nothing will distract. Nothing. Nothing will distract him. See, total devotion. Up mountain climbing. There you are, hanging from a lofty peak. And you're the one that's supposed to be going up and making the way and putting in those metal spikes or whatever they are. And what happens if you slip? Well, you know, you can say, well, the rope will catch, but still, after you bang on a few rocks sailing down 50 or 100 feet, I don't think you're wanting to do that. Oh, yeah, I'll see what it's like. Just jump on purpose to see if they'll be able to hold me. No, it's full devotion of mind. You put all your strength. You hold that rock like you've never held a rock in your whole life. You concentrate on exactly where you're going to put your foot. You don't just... I think I'll put my foot here. You test it. You make sure that that grip is firm. You do everything you know to do and 100 things besides. Your life is hanging right there in the balance, as it were. It's something important. What about a doctor in surgery? I think we'll just cut here. Yep. Just pull it open. Let's see what's in there. I hope not. Mind's wandering. Let's see now. What's this guy here for? I think it was kidneys. I really can't remember. Let's find out. No, it wasn't the kidneys. Better sew those up, nurse. Better try that. Well, I don't know about that. Well, let's pull this. Well, with all that stuff shooting up in the air, we better get that fixed. There's got to be some concentration. You got to know why you're there, right? There's got to be a dedication. And consider all the training that went into just getting in the profession. All the tests. All the effort. Full intensity. Not a haphazard, lethargic, well, we don't really have to try too hard. It is a total effort. They use their brain to the full. They use their strength to the full. What about somebody in a say the Super Bowl or some championship basketball game. 1 second left. He's got two free throws. Just 1 second. There he is. His team's down by 1 point. Oh, every beady eye is on him. The fans on the other team are screaming and yelling, being real sweet, of course, calling him every foul thing they can think of. And he's there about it, and he's getting ready to shoot that. And he goes, "Your shoe's untied, rabbit ears," or something, you know. And watch out for that bullet. And there's a real bullet or something. He's got to have full, total concentration. Total concentration. It doesn't matter what comes in his mind. He doesn't worry about if he left the stove on high and the water's boiling and now it's gone and now the house is going to be burned down. He could care less. That ball better go through that hoop or my name is Mud. I'll be killed by my teammates. I'll be killed by all the citizens of the city. They will have me. They will kill me. They will maim me. They will do everything to me. There's intensity. There's effort. There is no problem concentrating. None. Does anybody have real problem concentrating right at that point in time? No, none whatsoever. What about high-rise construction way up there, 75th floor, walking on a girder? There you are. Okay. Well, you just sprint across. Dance across. Pirouette across. Little wind, and it's all she wrote. Bye, Fred. Yeah, see you, Harvey. That's it. That's the end. Splat. That's it. Nothing more. So many things in life illustrate this truth. This is how we're to love God. I mean, we are to really love God. I mean, really, really love Him. Then he says here, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. A verse that I'd like to read with this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. And it uses a word here that's very interesting concerning loving the brethren, loving our fellow saint. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, an unhypocritical love. Seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. This word fervently in the Greek literally is at full stretch. It takes a physical picture of like somebody in a race running. And they're coming right to the finish line, and there's two other people, one on this side and one on this, and they're shoulder to shoulder, right there, just running right at that finish line. It's the one who's going to be able to stretch their body the furthest, the one that's going to be able to lean the furthest to break that tape first that's going to win. It's at full stretch, a total effort. And that there's fighting. It's at full stretch, total intensity. If I miss with this thrust, that's the end. I'm dead. That's the end of my being a gladiator. It doesn't matter who's best. It doesn't matter who's the most skilled. It's I've got to win. I don't care if I'm supposed to win. I don't care if anybody's betting on me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to put everything into it. My life hangs in the balance. Do you know that our life hangs in the balance depending on how we love God and depending on how we love our brethren? At full stretch, total effort. You see people doing something and it's really important to them and they're concentrating. There's an intensity. There's a real expenditure of energy. There's something that's being poured into that. There's real effort. It's not a casual thing. It's not a light, haphazard matter. It's important. It's vital. So this is how he's telling us. He's saying, now love this way. Now this is this lawyer speaking. He understood the basic command. We understand the basic command. We've got that. But that's not really the point of this whole message. Now Jesus responds here in verse 28. And he says, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt have life. This do. Don't just tell me about it. Do it. It's got to be done. Now, the Greek for the phrase, this do, is this be doing continuously. It's present tense, imperative mood. It's a command. This be doing all the time, constantly, habitually. All of us can testify that when we have really poured ourselves into prayer, we found God. When we poured ourselves into singing the songs, we found God. When we made effort to really get into His Word and do assignments or whatever, we found God. Seeking God diligently, with real effort, with a real determination, a real dedication. Too many of us are waiting for God to just come down and do it. It doesn't happen that way. Now, God's got to come down and do some things, but He does not do everything. Now, this man essentially knew what to do. He knew that. But the real issue is how. How? That's the issue. And then whether or not we are willing. Those are the two key points, and that's what this whole message is about, is how, and then are we willing? That's what has to be dealt with. God must show us how, and He also is going to have to produce the necessary willingness, or I will guarantee, absolutely, God my witness, His Word my witness, everybody else who knows God and really understands these things, it'll never be done. It'll never be done. God's going to have to show us how, and He's going to have to produce the willingness, or it's not going to be done. It's not going to be done. It's not going to be done. Legalism will not work. It's not going to ever work. And God is going to have to bring some of you a revelation that you are in legalism. Because what you're in is not going to work to get you anywhere in God. And some of the rest of you, another category, you're just sitting there passively, somehow thinking, well, God just got to come down and somehow carry me along and do it, and I'm just waiting for Him. It's not going to work either. It's not going to work. One person's making effort. Oh, I mean, they're making effort. Won't work. The other person just, well, it's grace. God's got to do it. I'm awaiting. Where is He? He's not coming. He's not going to come. Neither group is going to find Him. They're not going to find Him. I guarantee it, absolutely. Now let's talk about how. This is very important. Now these things are not new. But oh, we've got to hear. We've got to hear what He's saying. We've got to move in and really receive from God. We've got to get these things and stop being so satisfied because we got some knowledge up here. We've got to have these things produced experientially in our lives where we're really loving Him and He's loving us. This is vital to the whole call of God. Now, the first reference concerning hell is 1 John 4, verse 19. Now this says, we love Him because we made all sorts of efforts to love Him. No. No, 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 no. Not what it says. Because He first loved us. God initiates everything. God is the initiating force in everything as far as talking about His plan and what will accomplish it. Unless God is the initiating force, nothing will happen. No man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draw him. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. No, I'll come to God anytime I want. Think again. Start over in square one and get this thing straight. You won't go anywhere. All you'll do is go backwards. Your effort will only take you backwards. It will not take you forwards. Love, our love for God, is the product and the response to His love. And unless we are in a place, and I'm telling you, only God's going to really get us here, where we're opened up to receive His love, and we get rid of all these checklists by which we think we can earn and deserve God's love, and just go say, Lord, I've got to have Your love or I die. And God says, now we got the right basis. Now we're starting to see things clearly. Now we're catching up. And as God pours out His love, it will cause a response where we'll be praying, we'll be in the Word, we'll be witnessing. You couldn't chain us down. You couldn't hold us back. The demons won't be able to hold us back. The lies won't be able to hold us back. Significant point about what's happening in Chippewa Falls. These people are getting delivered by the power of God, and they're in the Bible morning, noon, and night. They're in the Scriptures all the time. They can't put their Bibles down. That's the response. That's the product. That's what is produced by the love of God. That is such a significant point. This is so vital for us to catch, to have ears, to hear what the Spirit is saying. It's the response. You're saved as a response to God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit as a response to God. You got water baptized as a response to God, a work of the Spirit of God. Now who's come along and bewitched us? Who's come along and made us act so foolish to think that we initiate the whole thing? We don't initiate it. Unless God moves, nothing is going to happen. Grace caused Paul to labor more than anybody else. That's what he said. That was his testimony. I am laboring the more abundantly because I am the legalist of all legalists. Oh, am I a self-starter? Oh, am I disciplined? Oh, do I have diligence? That's why I'm laboring. No, never. That kind of work doesn't amount to a hill of beans. He labored as a response to God's grace. God's grace caused him to labor. You want to preach the Word and keep preaching the Word? There's only one thing that'll keep you doing it. It's the love of God. There's nothing else that'll keep you doing it. I don't care who you minister to, you're going to get hurt. I don't care who you minister to, there's going to be times of discouragement. There's going to be times of frustration. There's going to be ways in which the devil impacts your heart. The only thing that keeps bringing you to that place of speaking as God gives you words to speak will be His love. That's all that'll do it. Now the second reference as to how is Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Very familiar verse. The King James says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now literally, and with a little expansion on it, it says, "For God is the one who is constantly, continually, and habitually putting forth His energy in you in order to accomplish both the to be willing continuously and the to be doing continuously of His good pleasure." His energy, His power, God working. And that is what produces the to be willing, and that's what produces the to be doing. There's nothing else that produces it. It's not produced by man in and of himself in any way, shape, or form. This is how we work out our salvation. That's what he's talking about in verse 12. He says, work out your salvation, the very last part of verse 12, with fear and trembling. Well, how do I work it out? In response to God's energy. In response to God's power. It's God working in you, and that will work out your salvation. There's no individual effort involved here. It's a response. This is also how we carry out Christ's example, which is given in verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. And it shows that even though he was in the form of God, he took on the form of a servant. He became obedient to the point of death. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. There's only one way the man-child is going to be exalted. There's only one way the bride is going to be exalted. It's by the power of God. It's in response to God's power. It's the product of God working in our lives. You people that are coming into deliverances in your life, you people that are finding changes, you will all testify to this one same truth. It's God who's done it. And you will acknowledge without any hesitancy that all you've done is respond to God. All you've done is make a response. It's just a response to what He's done. But if we don't respond, it won't work either. There's got to be the response. Now, Christ loved God like no other man. The man Jesus Christ loved God like no other man ever on the face of the earth. And his sinless life of total obedience proves that he loved God. Because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He kept those commandments pure and spotless out of the love of God poured into his life. The love of God was poured into Christ, and he responded to it. And that's how he lived an obedient life. Without that love of God, there would not have been the obedience. It cannot be done. It cannot just be commands. It cannot be, yes, sir, God, Master Sergeant. Hi, sir. It's not going to do it. It's love. It's love. It's the love of God. And all these people that think, well, that'll make us all sloppy. No. It'll make us holy. It'll make us righteous. It's what's going to bring the saints of God to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Now, the next reference as to how, very common reference, Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Scripture says in John 15, without Him, we can do nothing. Now, I'll tell you what proves that we don't have this revelation. We still yawn at it. It doesn't really strike our heart that deep, because we've already heard it up in the old brain. So we think we know it. Brethren, we don't know this truth. We don't know this truth. We don't have this truth living in a full, powerful, dynamic way in our lives. Why do you have so many frustrations? Why do you have so much discouragement? Why are you up and down and all over the map? Why are you overcome by certain sins? Why do you argue with your wife? Why do you argue with your husband? Why do you speak that way to your children? Why do you speak that way to that dorm mate? Where is this love? Where is the response to this love? See, those things are missing in the full way that God wants it to be. Now, I am so thankful, and I just feel it overflowing in my life and my heart for the love that He has been able to pour out and the love that we have responded to. But we cannot afford to get weary in well-doing. We cannot afford to plateau. We cannot afford to stop because we really haven't got that far yet. There's too many souls that are hanging in the balance. Besides that, we're still hanging in the balance. We're still in the valley of decision. We've got to keep making decisions for God. This is extremely important. The how is primarily God. But there's also our part. And this is the response. The response is that we must make decisions. Some of you are not making any decisions. But do you know that no decision is a decision? We have got to make decisions. When you hear a song come forth and it says, in that day I'm going to be like Jesus, you need to say, yes. In that day, I'm going to be like Jesus. When that person talks about a deliverance, you need to say, yes, I'm going to have that deliverance in my life. When the brother talks about Gideon, we need to say, I'm going to be like Gideon as anointed and empowered by God. I mean real, concrete, definitive, specific decisions. I'm going to speak to my wife in love. I'm going to speak to my children in love. I'm going to speak in that classroom with a new love and a new anointing. The devil comes in and says, you can't make such a decision. Who do you think you are? What are you doing? I'm making a decision according to the expressed will of God. And God will back that up every single time. It doesn't mean I'm going to move into it perfectly day one. It means I'm going to have to keep coming back to the altar. And I'm going to have to repent of certain sins and stumblings involved in it. But the just man falls seven times and gets up. He keeps trusting the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. That's the only thing we can do. But if we stop making decisions, we're not going to make it. If we stop responding because of failure, we're not going to make it. If we stop responding because somebody corrects us, we're not going to make it. We've got to keep responding and making those decisions. I told one of my classes that they should be in every class saying the word yes about 500 times. As they're taking notes, it should be yes, 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 yes. No I things. No yeah buts. No, what about this? Well, is that the way I feel? None of that. Yes, 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 yes. If we started saying yes from our hearts, as a response to God, our lives are going to be totally transformed. We need to say, yes, I can't do it in myself, but yes, I can do it in Jesus Christ. With Him, all things are possible. He can do it in my life, and I am going to put faith in Him. And Lord, where I have problems with faith, increase my faith. And where I have unbelief, help my unbelief. That's what the whole book is about. That's what the whole book is about. This is so important for us. We must respond in repentance. We must respond in time of prayer. We need to be spending time in prayer. We need to respond in faith, love, and obedience. We've got to be responding to God's love. He expresses His will. There's got to be a response. We must. You want to know how to do this? You want to know how to really love God? Stand on the Word. If you're singing away and you feel real good, you put a lot into it because you feel like it. And you feel something. But it's true no matter what you feel. God's still on the throne no matter what you feel. The Word of God describes Him as high and lifted up no matter what you feel. He still deserves you to raise your hands and sing from the bottom of your heart no matter how you sinned that day. No matter how you stumble that day, no matter what difficulties you're having, no matter the argument you got in with your son, daughter, wife, husband, or whoever on the way to church, it's Jesus, you are still worthy. That is standing on the Word of God. We must stand on God's Word. He's calling us to a maturity of standing on His Word. We must climb up on the altar as living sacrifices. Hey, Lord, here I come. I walk into this service, and I'm climbing up on that altar. And whatever you want to do, do it in my life. You don't have to feel a thing to climb up on that altar. It's a response to the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must climb up on the potter's wheel as moldable clay. Just climb right up there. Don't get off no matter what you're feeling. Don't let your mind get distracted. Keep your mind on Jesus. Let Him stand guard at your mind and at your heart. We must fulfill our part of the covenant, our part of the contract. Now, last point, most important point. So obvious, we all know it, but we've got to get it somehow. In order to really do this, we must have the constant revelation of God in our lives. We must have the revelation of God. We must be seeing as God sees. We must begin to have His mind. We've got to have the revelation of God to override this pea brain computer that we rely on morning, noon, and night. And to override our conscience that we rely on, and our feelings and our emotions. We've got to have the revelation of God. Without the revelation of God, we cannot put together the two arms of truth that are involved with most every single statement of Scripture. There's always God's part and there's always ours, and without the revelation of God, we can never figure out how they fit. We have the most difficult time. The violent take the kingdom by force. Labor to enter into his rest. Labor to enter into his rest. He says, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. But I'm supposed to take the kingdom by force. But I'm supposed to enter into rest. Rest? Force! Force rest! Force rest! Which one is it? Lord, which one is it? Help! What do we need? You say, that's not the way we are. That's exactly the way we are. But worse. Worse than that. Really? That's all of us. We don't got this thing down pat yet. We don't have the revelation. God is trying to get a revelation across. When you're down at that altar praying and you think nothing is going on, God is doing something. God is making you more ready to receive His revelation. And the amazing thing is that after you start waiting on God for a while and you're really in His Word, you start to understand things. You start to know how these things fit together. But it's not because you put all this study time in. It's somehow in that study time and that prayer time, finally it gave God an access to get in and begin to show you things by His Spirit through His Word. We need a revelation. We've got to have a revelation. I'm supposed to love Him with all my heart, with this full commitment, this total intensity, this complete effort, but yet He's supposed to do it in me. Well, how? A revelation of God will show us. There is no way that I or anybody else can tell you step by step how to do any of these things. Can't even tell a person how to yield to God. Can't even tell somebody really how to be anointed to testify, to sing. I don't know how many of you tried to explain it to other people, and you may have been anointed to explain it, but when you get done, it still begs questions. There are still points unanswered. And you take the brother by the hand and you say, let me show you where you get the answers. The prayer room. Getting in the Word. Submitting to God, opening up to God, a response to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Just want to read these quickly. Familiar verses. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Now they had faith, and they had love toward the saints. These people were walking with God. That's good. That's us. We got faith in the Lord Jesus, and we have love toward the saints. But we still need a revelation. So what does Paul say? He makes that statement. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's praying for them. Well, if they've got this, why do they need prayer? I mean, isn't faith in Jesus and loving the brethren enough? No, that's just... And even if you're doing it, that doesn't mean you're doing it to the full degree. That doesn't mean you've arrived at the full end of doing it. We're doing these things, but see, there's more involved in each step, more involved in every single aspect. And then he says that the God, this is what his prayer is, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, in the Greek is the eyes of your heart, being enlightened, that ye may know, really know, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. We need a revelation of God. We have got to respond to the Word that shows us where we lack. When the Word convicts us, we must make a response and say, Lord, make up for that lack. Show me how these things are to be done. Show me how to really walk that way. Show me, Lord, how to really love You. See, God has to teach us how to love Him. God has to teach us how to love Him. He must feed our minds as well as guard our minds. We must come to live by divine impulse imparted both by His Spirit as well as through His Word. That's how Jesus lived His life. And we are being called to the same thing. And this is not some weird, mystical, ethereal, bizarre thing. This is the Spirit-filled life that God is calling us to. The man-child is not going to be led of its own mind. The man-child is not going to be led of its own conscience. The man-child is not going to be led of its feelings. It's going to be led of God. It's going to be led and shown how to really love God. It's going to be led and shown how to yield to God. It's going to be led and shown how to be anointed of God. Revelations of God. Realize He pours His love in, and then we're able to love Him. We're able to respond. Now, when He pours the love in, you may not have big super feelings. You have to stand on the Word and say, Lord, You love me. And I'm going to make a response according to Your Word that tells me to do these things because You love me. And when we start making decisions like that, we're going to start maturing. And some of you are making those kind of decisions, and you are soaring up in God. You are moving up in God. And I am thrilled with it. I am so thankful for it. But others of you are still working in your own strength. Some of you are not making any decisions, not any real responses. Somehow you're just waiting for God to come down and do this thing as a hocus pocus, abracadabra, rabbits out of hats and scarves out of coat sleeves. It's not going to happen that way. Fallen man cannot love God. Man, in and of himself, cannot love God. He does not have the ability to do so. If we truly love Him and we're doing the very commandments of God, then we'll live. Then we're going to live. And thou shalt live. We've got to love Him. We've got to respond. Now, really, if you think about love, even in the human realm of if a man just pours out love upon a woman, and then she begins to fall in love with him. See, what's the basis of her love for him? It's his love for her. It's he poured his love into her, and virtually that very love is now being reciprocated and coming back. That's the only way that love can really be developed. It's got to start somewhere where there is a source of love. That's why God is love. He's the source. It has to start with Him. See, we all really want to love God, but it's only going to be done as a response to Him. And we all want to live, but it has to be done as a response to Him. And the key thing is it's not a response out of feeling. It's a response out of the truth of God's Word. It's a response out of the real working of God's Spirit in our lives. And this has to be done in us. It has to be done in us if we're going to become the people that God wants us to be. We must hear the words, and thou shalt live. We must hear those words, and thou shalt live. And then remember, it is a pathway to the highest love. In order to live, we must get on that pathway to the highest love. And that's the love of God. That's having God love us, and then we love Him. There's no other way. It can't be done in any other way.